The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Boker Tov, all very good, thank you. I hope you guys are doing well too. I hear it's two Howards in the house today, so it all sounds good and well.
I think it's in the house as well. Outside, in the across the country, a little bit tentative.
We're hiding under our desks.
We've been following, you know, those stories over here as well. So. It's looking very concerning, I have to say, from a distance.
Indeed. Foreign Minister Yisrael Katz is leading an Israeli delegation to Switzerland, and that's to try and convince the Swiss government to rescind a law that could result in Israeli politicians being arrested for war crimes in Switzerland. Are there indications that the Swiss government is open to making this change?
Well, I think they are, because obviously the agenda of the meeting has been quite well publicized. The Swiss government have agreed to accept the Israeli delegation headed by Yisrael Katz, and including a whole team of Israeli lawyers who are in Switzerland in order to discuss this issue of war crimes. And it's the second day in a row that we're talking about war crimes against Israelis for military activities, and it's certainly a topic on the agenda. And before we even talk about the particular Swiss situation, I think it's just worth having a general discussion about why it is that Israel finds itself under attack from a legal perspective for potential war crimes that might have been committed. And you know, this is not something that I necessarily have a unique view on. It's something that I'm really opening up to the floor for general discussion and for comment, because from where I'm sitting, I see the IDF operating in a way that is almost whiter than white in many respects. Wars are ugly, and military activities include all manner of actions and behaviors which we would much rather avoid if we possibly could. But once we are already in the battlefield, and once we are already having to undertake the ugly activity of undertaking a military action in order to defend our borders, then what I would say is that the general way in which soldiers are educated in the IDF is really on the most moral basis that one could imagine. In other words, you know, within the context of having to undertake a military activity, which at the outset has its own issues, has its own problems. None of us would choose to do this if we were given the choice. But given the fact that we are thrown into this situation where we are forced to undertake military action in order to defend Israel's borders, the general culture that goes down the IDF is to be as moral as is possible under those circumstances, to avoid any civilian casualties, to particularly respect children, to behave well towards people who are not military targets. We've heard all the stories about Israeli pilots not dropping missiles that they've been sent to drop, because of the fact that they've noticed from the cockpit civilians who might be in a general vicinity of where that missile is targeted. And the IDF gives those pilots the last say. They might have been sent up in an F-15, and they might be loaded with a missile on board, and they might have all the information that they need, and the target has been identified and everything is locked on. And yet the pilot has the final say as to whether that particular missile is dropped or not. And many times, pilots avoid dropping missiles because of the fear of civilian casualties. And so from where I'm sitting, it's not only that culture, but I think we also need to remember that in the IDF war rooms, lawyers are always present. Every single target that is identified has to be evaluated by the team of lawyers before such time as the instruction is sent in order to continue with that activity. So in the context of the caution that the IDF exercises in the way that it conducts its military activities, it seems to me inconceivable that we could have all of these issues relating to war crime accusations, not only at the International Criminal Court, which we discussed yesterday, but in the individual countries such as Switzerland and such as the UK, where we've had issues before. It just seems amazing that Israel has been once again singled out for accusations of war crimes. And, you know, I don't even want to go towards saying, well, other countries do the same and behave in a much worse way, and therefore why is it that Israel is being singled out? All I would like to just say is that I think that on an objective basis, when you talk about what a war crime is, and when you compare that to the activities that the IDF undertakes, I can't imagine two more different situations. I can't imagine a situation where war crimes are really not being committed in the context of a military activity. So all of this that's going on in Switzerland is, in my view, very, very unfortunate. And Foreign Minister Yisrael Katz is in Luzerne to mark 70 years of diplomatic relations between Israel and Switzerland, but also to talk to the Swiss legislators about how this situation can be reversed, how the Swiss law somehow can be used in a different way or can potentially be reversed in order to avoid the possibility that took place earlier this year when former Prime Minister Ehud Olmert had to cancel his visit to Switzerland because he was warned ahead of time that he could be arrested upon entry to Switzerland. And in fact, there was even an intention to arrest him because of the accusations that have been leveled against him about war crimes that were committed in an Israeli, the military operation that took place back in 2010. And so this was just really something quite incredible. We also know that previously, Israeli politicians and senior officials have traveled to London and have not even got off the plane, have not disembarked the plane because of a warning before they got off the plane that they might be arrested when going to the UK, and therefore stayed on that flight, stayed on the plane itself and returned back to Israel without even disembarking. So this is just a really crazy situation. And against the backdrop of the way that the IDF behaves, I think it's just inappropriate. And, you know, I'm Anthony, happy to open it up to the floor.
So what's interesting to me is that what this achieves is exactly what's just happened, because the very fact that a legitimate army that is fighting a war to defend its borders, but is now having to explain every action to, you know, in order to defend itself because of the situation, it means that this whole criminal court thing has actually had the impact that it's meant to have. Because, you know, you don't see this type of thing happening with Americans in Afghanistan and the South African forces in Central Africa and in any other area where there's a less of a reason perhaps for those armies to engage. You're not seeing it. You're seeing the Iranian foreign minister arriving in Paris, where the list of war crimes and horrors from a humanitarian perspective are publicly documented. They've broken every possible international ruling, but they can fly in and out of Paris without any fear of any form of recrimination. So the fact is that just this discussion means to some extent that and of course it's all politically motivated. There's not even a question about that. It isn't a humanitarian issue. This is a political issue. But the agenda's been set.
The International Criminal Court has been used in some cases, you know, in a positive way. You know, war crimes in Rwanda and the former Yugoslavia. I mean, certainly those cases have been through those courts, and I think that there's been a lot of justification, at least from where I'm sitting, to those cases being prosecuted. But it seems to me as if though Israel's enemies have somehow managed to hijack this, what is generally a positive thing. They've managed to hijack it in order to use it to their advantage, in order to gain some momentum in their activities against Israel. And I think that there needs at some point to be a cutoff point to say what is really justified as a war crime. And we discussed this a little bit yesterday when we heard that the prosecutor at the International Criminal Court says that where 10 people are killed in a particular military action due to a set of circumstances which was not premeditated, which was not designed in order to kill civilians necessarily, but just happened because of the circumstances, that that is not considered to be a war crime. And I think in the same way, when Israel goes into Gaza and takes every single precaution that is possible in order to avoid civilian activities, but guess what? Israel is absorbing hundreds and thousands of rockets, rocket fire, which, by the way, those are not being prosecuted at the International Criminal Court or by the Swiss or by any of the other authorities. So that's an interesting case in itself. But it seems to me that these legitimate organizations and legitimate laws have been hijacked for negative purposes simply in order to, create negative publicity and negative things towards Israel. And this is where my issue comes. I think that we, just need to try and draw the line. But unfortunately, the general public doesn't know where to draw the line, because the moment it looks as if the Swiss are prosecuting Israelis for war crimes, it almost looks like Israelis have committed war crimes, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Really, a crazy, absolutely ridiculous situation. Just moving on to another subject, the Tel Aviv sewage system had to be unblocked of 10 tons of wet wipes.
This is crazy, isn't it? I mean, who would have thought? And I don't know that we really want to discuss the inner workings of what goes on in the sewage system in Tel Aviv.
No, but it's fascinating.
This is a major issue. It's a major issue. And apparently, wet wipes have this this thing about them that they're similar to like fat and other sticky material that gets washed down the sewers, that they actually form these huge chunks where they actually stick to one another. And by doing that, they cause blockages through the whole sewage system, and people had to be deployed in the Tel Aviv sewage area in order to unblock 10 tons. Can you understand this? 10 tons of wet wipes within the sewage system. Obviously the sewage people have appealed to people not to flush their wet wipes down the toilet. I mean, the simple answer is put your wet wipe in the rubbish bin rather than flush it down the toilet. But I suppose it also kind of does bring into question wet wipes and whether there isn't something that needs to be done in order to somehow change the recipe for the way in which they're being manufactured, because we've seen a lot of sensitivity in recent years to things that are environmentally friendly and unfriendly. And for example, when one travels in Europe these days, you can hardly find a plastic straw anywhere in sight. It's become very politically incorrect to have a plastic straw because of the damage that the plastic does to the environment and you can only find now the paper straws, which can be which are biodegradable and which don't cause any environmental damage. And I just wonder whether wet wipes don't need some sort of an overhaul in the same way. I mean, Israel is becoming very much environmentally conscious. We've got all the issues about separating waste. And now in recent months and years, the use of paper plates and throwaway crockery and cutlery, which is very, very common in Israel because of kashrut issues. The beach authorities have now banned the use of paper plates and plastic plates and plastic cups and things like that on the beaches. Incredible. You can be fined if you are found to be using it on the beach because it's an environmental hazard. And I just think that maybe wet wipes need to go the same way, and we need to find a new way of producing wet wipes that they don't block up the system and cause this major blockage in the way that had to be dealt with by the Tel Aviv sewage authorities. And of course, to educate the general public that throwing wet wipe down the toilet is not the answer.
Absolutely. Time is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always, and we look forward to... Oh, wait, hold on. We're speaking to you tomorrow.
We will not be speaking tomorrow. I'll be away until Tuesday of next week, so I'll leave you guys for the long weekend without me. I'm going to take a bit of a long weekend, and I will be back on Tuesday as usual, and I'm sure that there will be many new and interesting things to talk about then.
Absolutely right. Anthony Reich, I hope you have a fantastic weekend, a well-deserved break, and we'll chat to you on Tuesday.